This morning we'd like to draw your attention to the 9th chapter and to this particular vision of Ezekiel as God showed to him the destruction of Jerusalem and the slaying of the people and the angelic activity that was involved around this period of judgment. Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel saw in a vision these angels ready to destroy the inhabitants of Jerusalem because of their sin. And he saw the one angel that had an inkhorn and a pen. And he was commanded to go around and mark on the forehead all of those people who had been weeping over the abominations. Those who had been grieved by the sin that existed. And when they were marked, then the other angels were commanded, now go in and utterly slay all that are left. And in verse 8, it came to pass, while they were slaying them, and I was left. And so Ezekiel, seeing all of this destruction that was taking place as God's judgment was falling, sort of in awe declared, and I was left. We have all of us had very close brushes with death at some time or other in our lives. It is interesting to me that life so many times is a matter of seconds or a matter of inches. If it had only been an inch closer or an inch this way, it would have been it. It would have been snuffed. If it had only been a few seconds before or after, it'd be all over. Our lives hang on very narrow threads. Life is measured by seconds and inches. And yet, for some reason, we haven't been taken yet. We are still left. Friends, close associates have been taken, but I am left. And there's always sort of a wonder to that, you know, and I was left. Why, when others did not escape, yet I was left? Have you ever wondered why you were left? Why it didn't happen to you? If you are not a Christian, the reason why you were left is that God in His goodness is giving you another chance, another opportunity to receive Jesus Christ, another opportunity to know His love and His grace. But how long do you think that God is going to go along putting up with you? How long do you think that God will forbear with your sins? In Genesis, God said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." There will be a day when you will no longer be able to say, "I was left." Because God isn't going to forever forbear. Paul said, "Do you despise the goodness and the forbearance and the long suffering of God, not knowing that it is the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? Don't you know that God has just let you go on in order that you might have another opportunity to repent?" How many more chances do you think that God is going to give you to reject him? As of this very moment, you can say, well, I was left because you are still here. But you have no assurance that you'll be here tomorrow. The Bible tells us that life is but a vapor. It appears for a season, then it is gone. Again, in the scriptures, we read of that man who was very prosperous, and he said, what shall I do? I've got more than I need, more than I can handle. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger, and I'll say to my soul, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, tonight your soul will be required of thee. James said, go to now. He didn't tell you where. He just said, go to now, ye that say, tomorrow I'm going to do this and that. He said, you would be better to say, if the Lord wills, tomorrow I'm going to do this or that, because none of us know what a day is going to bring forth. We don't know. God has left us now, but only in order that we might have another chance to receive the grace through Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, you have been left in order that you might accomplish God's will for your life. Paul the Apostle had a very close brush with death at Lystra. They had stoned him and drug him out of the city thinking that he was dead, and for all anybody knows, maybe he was. His friends gathered around him and were weeping. When suddenly Paul began to move, he stood up and said, let's get going. God had spared him. Writing to the Philippians, he said, for I have not yet apprehended that for which I was apprehended by Jesus Christ. He's not through with me yet. I haven't yet finished the work that God has planned for me to do. Later on, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I have, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. It's just about time for me to go. I'm going to be checking out very soon. Why? Because I finished my course. I have now accomplished all that God had in mind, all that God had purposed for me. And so I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, our righteous judge, is going to give to me and to all of those that do love his appearing. But I am left today solely for the purpose that I might accomplish and fulfill God's will and that work that God has planned for my life. God has not left me here that I might pursue my own career, my own ambitions, my own pleasures. God has left me here in order that I might complete the work that he has in mind for me to do. And since I am left, my paramount question should be, what does God want me to do? Every morning before I start my day, I say, Lord, here is my life. What do you want for me today? What do you have for me to do for you, Lord? I am here, Lord, to do your will, to accomplish your purposes. And whatever it is, God, bring into my life today those things that you want me to accomplish for the kingdom. That's the only reason why I'm here. To do the work of God. And the paramount issue and desire is to just be doing God's work. God forbid that I should waste my time upon myself in the pursuit of my own way. I was left. is often the last line of a story. Usually, it is said with sort of a breath of thanksgiving. It could have been me. It was so close. Oh, but thank God I was left. And yet, there is coming very soon a day when that phrase, "I was left," will not be a breath of thanksgiving, but will be a bitter wail. For Jesus is coming again very soon for his church. And if when he takes his church out of the world, you are still left, that will be one of the most bitter days in your entire life. Jesus promised to come again. He said to his disciples, "I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He's promised to come again and receive his church when he ascended into heaven. As the disciples were standing there just looking up into the cloud in which he had ascended, two angels stood by them in white apparel, and they said, "Hey, you men of Galilee, why are you just standing here looking into heaven? For this same Jesus that you have seen go into heaven shall come again in like manner as you have seen him go." The promise that Jesus is coming again for his church. Now, Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, declares that in these last days, there is going to be a time of great tribulation such as never existed from the beginning of the world even till now, or will ever be. That the world is going to go through a period of horrible disasters, one upon another, all over the world, happening simultaneously. These are graphically described in the book of Revelation, beginning with chapter 6 and going through chapter 18. Daniel, in writing about them in the Old Testament, said, "And there will be a time of trouble such as the world has never seen before or ever will see again." Jesus speaks in Luke's gospel of the distress of nations with perplexities and all of these cataclysmic events happening. And then he said, "But pray ye always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape all of these things and to be standing before the Son of Man." Jesus said to his church, "Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from that hour of temptation which is coming to try men who dwell upon the earth." Yes, Jesus is coming very soon to take his church out of this world. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And when that happens, the earth then will go into a period of great tribulation such as it has never experienced from the beginning of time, even worse than the flood of Noah's day. And if when the Lord has taken his church out, you are still here, you are left, that will surely be the saddest, most tragic day that any man could ever face. Imagine waking up one morning and discovering that all of the church is gone. You call the church and all you get is a recording. You call your Christian friends and there is no answer. You turn on the news. Don't worry, the major networks will all still be on. And you hear the reports of all of the weird and bizarre things that took place last night. All over the world. The plague that suddenly swept away millions of people right in the midst of their activities. And the awareness, the consciousness begins to come over you. Oh my God, I've been left. You've taken your church. You kept your promise. It's true. And I've been left. Why were you left? It wasn't easy. It was a tough fight. You had to resist the work of the Holy Spirit in your heart that was seeking to draw you to Jesus Christ. You had to deny your very reasoning processes. You had to try to attribute the existence of man to something other than divine creation. In which you had to say there is a cause, there is an effect without a cause. There is a design without a designer. There is creation without a creator. And you've had to somehow eliminate God from his creation. And without reason, you've had to say that somehow, in spite of all of the mathematical evidence to the contrary and scientific evidence to the contrary, somehow spontaneous generation began years ago in the primordial ooze of this world and of this planet. And somehow you're going to have to describe or define to yourself how that you could have had the 20 amino acids necessary for the first protein to all be of the left-handed, the pure, because if there had been one right-handed one, it would have destroyed the others. But yet nowhere in nature do you find just left-handed pure amino acids being formed in any place in nature. But somehow, some way, it must have happened billions of years ago in a method that we have not yet discovered and have not been able to reproduce in our scientific experiments under carefully controlled situations in thousands of experiments. We cannot demonstrate to you how it happened. We can show you what happens when it happens by nature, and it's always lethal because the right-handed will always destroy the left-handed. There somehow had to take place this process, and you've got to defy reason, defy chemistry, defy chance. Oh, but you can do it. If you want to put your mind on the shelf, you had to turn your back upon Jesus Christ and upon his love for you. You had to ignore all of the warnings that God sent your way. But you hung in there. You're tough. You made it. The Lord has now taken his church, and you are left. But it will be no trophy that you'll be proud of in that day. It'll be disaster. Now that you're elect, what awaits you? Listen to the solemn words of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have come to the knowledge of truth, there remains no further sacrifice for our sins, only that fearful looking forward to of the judgment of God and the fiery indignation which will devour his adversaries. For if he who despised Moses' law was put to death in the mouth of one or two witnesses, of how much sore punishment suppose ye he to be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of his covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite to the Spirit of grace? For we know him who hath said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. And again, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. What waits? The judgment of God, the fire indignation of his wrath that will be poured upon his adversaries. A Christless, churchless world. There's no need for you to be left. Surely God doesn't want to leave you. He has spared you to this point today. You have no guarantee he will continue. But the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart as the children of Israel did in the day of provocation in the wilderness and were destroyed. But acknowledge the goodness of God in leaving you till now and open up your heart and ask God to forgive you your sins, to come in and take over your life, that you might be with him in his kingdom eternally. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your purposes and your plans for our lives. Lord, we know that you have left us here for a reason. We came so close. On so many occasions, Lord, death brushed right past, and somehow we were left in order that we might serve you and accomplish your will. Forgive us, God, for wasting our time. Forgive us, God, for our carelessness and our indifference toward you. Lord, we surely don't want to be left when you gather from out of the earth your children. But we want to be numbered with those who love Jesus Christ and who have served him. Those who are accounted worthy to escape all of the judgments that will be coming upon the earth, that we might be standing before you in your kingdom. Lord, may your Holy Spirit once more speak unto us today. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, here you are. We made it this far. How much longer? Only God knows. But I am only here because God has ordained that I should be here. I am only here upon the caprice of God. He's not obligated to keep me here. It is only because he hasn't chosen that I should be taken yet, that I am still here. And so with each of you. You owe your very existence to God. And so many of you, in the like manner as King Belshazzar, the very God in whose hand your breath is, you're not glorifying. You're trying to ignore. You're fighting against, you're rebelling against the very God in whose hand your breath is held. And here you are fighting against him. But for what reason? When God only purposes goodness for you. God said, I've not purposed evil, but good. My thoughts towards you are good, not evil. God loves you and only wants what is best for your life. But you're arguing with him. You think you know better than God. That's again where you put your reason on your shelf. To think that I know better than God is really stupid on my part. Now, I don't believe in really, you know, begging people to receive Jesus Christ or having extended appeals and all this kind of stuff. I believe in just laying out the facts, and you're intelligent, you're mature, you know what to do with it. And you can do with it whatever you want. It's your business. But if you want to know the love of God in your life, if you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord, if you want a full, rich life, complete life, by opening up the spiritual dimension, then I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room, which is on your far right, the door that goes behind the block wall there, and the pastors will be back there to pray with you this morning, to help you to discover what God's purpose and plan is for your life, that you might know the riches of the love and grace of God towards you in Christ Jesus. Now may the Lord be with you and keep you in his love, strengthen you by his Spirit, and guide you according to his will, in Jesus' name.